We continue our series this evening looking at the letter of Colossians, a letter of encouragement. This evening, I want to think about a different aspect of the letter of Colossians from which I hope we can also draw encouragement. And that is that Colossians is a letter about focus. Now, I've a variable ability to focus, dependent on how interested I am in whatever it is I need to focus upon. But I guess that's what focus is all about. We all get brain fog at times. We all stop paying attention. Perhaps some of you will be struggling with that already tonight as I start to speak. But before your minds wander too far, although I'm going to try to give some credit first to a man who I think is an American pastor called Tom van der Ploeg, who recently preached on the passage we read tonight. And his thoughts and his take on this passage are something that I'm going to draw fairly heavily upon and have greatly influenced what I'm going to say tonight. Because I think he has pinpointed a really good message which I needed to hear. And I hope you'll agree with me that it is a good thing to hear. So let's look at Colossians. Well, a loss of focus can happen for lots of different reasons. And I think it's good to think about that a little before we consider how the Apostle Paul's words to the church in Colossae apply to us today, because they do have a relevance for us as well. We are people who struggle with focus too. Perhaps we may have times when our focus gets hijacked and taken over. Perhaps you put your house or your car keys down somewhere, and then you can't find them. And your brain just keeps going over and over it and just not letting it go, just trying to remember, trying to think out where those keys are. And you can't really concentrate on anything else. Perhaps you keep retracing steps in your head or even wonder about trying to find out where you've put them and go back and look in places and just walk through the steps that you've been through. And your brain gets stuck on that one task of trying to locate those keys. And it becomes the only thing that you can focus on at that time. Actually, there are quite good biological reasons why unfinished tasks like trying to find lost keys keep cropping up at the front of your brain until they are completed. It's also how earworms in music, those annoying snatches that just stick in your head and you can't get rid of, because you can't get to the end of the tune in your head, in your memory. That's the same kind of idea. And that kind of thing happens all the time. But it's really not helpful to let you focus on what you want to choose to focus on. Or perhaps your focus becomes dominated by the wrong thing. My children try to convince me that they can eat their dinner and watch YouTube shorts at the same time. Let me tell you, they can't. The food sits uneaten and getting cold while their focus is entirely on their laptop. Or perhaps, more significantly, we've moments when our focus just becomes overwhelmed. There is just too much happening all at once, and we may not even know what to be focusing on at any given moment. For as much as we like to use terms like multitasking, humans are not really wired to spread our focus out in several directions all at once. I'm not perfect. I get distracted by things like sorting out the lease for the music sanctuary, which we're hopefully going to be signing this evening after the service. And I got kind of drawn into thinking about that and trying to fix stuff for that this week when perhaps I should have moved on to other things like writing this sermon or doing some checks for Castle Community Bank, the credit union whose board I sit on. Indeed, the community bank itself sometimes distracts me from eating my dinner too as I start to try to balance budgets and things. So my girls don't always have me as the best role model for focus as my dinner is left uneaten as well. The point is that we all have moments when our focus is being pulled in the wrong direction because of distractions. Sometimes those facing serious critical illnesses or a sudden tragic loss can feel overwhelmed by lots of things happening all at once. And the best that we can do is just make it through one day to the next. The idea of don't even ask me about focusing on what's coming next week or next month. Sometimes it takes all our energy just to make it through today and get to tomorrow. Colossians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul that talks about the way in which our faith in God requires a certain amount of focus. And just like our focus in everyday life, it can be affected in different ways. It can be misguided. It can be distracted. We can be overwhelmed. And the focus of our faith can face those exact same challenges from time to time. So let's jump into that today with a few thoughts about how you go about finding the focus in your life of faith, following on from Kat's start on looking at our sermon series in Paul and Timothy's letters to the Colossian church. So today, we're looking at the end of chapter 1 and then into the beginning of chapter 2. So what do these verses have to do with finding focus within your own life of faith? Well, let's look at that by noting first, and actually maybe if you could put the verses that we were looking at back up on the screen. So let's first notice how the last verses of chapter 1 follow the exact same structure as the first verses of chapter 2. And that helps us see the theme and the major point that Paul is making to the Christians in Colossae. There are themes of struggle, of mission, and there is a message. At the end of each of these passages, Paul frames some kind of struggle. In verse 24 and 29, he talks about the suffering in which he is contending, suffering for the sake of Christ. That is, due to Paul's commitment to follow the teachings of Jesus and to his belief in the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, Paul is incarcerated. He's in prison, and the reality of suffering is present with Paul, notwithstanding all of that, all of his faith in Christ. Following Jesus is not a free ticket to an easy life for Paul or for us. Just a quick aside, while I mentioned about Paul's writing this letter to Colossae while he was in prison, we don't actually know exactly where he was in prison when this happened. It's commonly thought that he was probably in Rome at the time of writing, but some academics think Paul might have been in prison a bit nearer to Colossae in Ephesus at the time the letter was written. The book of Luke and Acts, which give us much of the information about Paul's missionary life, doesn't really help us in answering where he was when this letter was written. However, beyond that Paul is in prison at the time of writing, it isn't hugely significant to us where that prison was situated. What we know, regardless of where the prison was, Paul's surroundings and the wider circumstances of his life are far from ideal because he's being held as a captive. Anyway, perhaps the particular struggle that Paul seems to be naming here is one of physical separation, being imprisoned and not able to freely interact with his communities and contacts. The second set of verses makes that clear. Verses 1 and 5 tell us that the Colossian church contained people whom Paul has never been able to meet personally. His struggle is that he cannot be there with those people in person. Now let's take a moment here to pause and reflect upon the struggles, but also to remember that we are not alone in what we face. Just as Paul did, we have Jesus. Jesus who is shepherd, who is brother, who is friend, and who is so much more. He's a prophet. He's a priest. He's a king. He's so much more than even all of that because he is our God, or part of our God, one aspect of the Trinity. And that God needs to be worshipped and praised. I'm going to take a moment now before I go on to considering further about Colossians by singing our next hymn, which is, as I said, there are three themes to this part of the letter, namely the themes of struggle, of mission, and that there is a message. I've dealt with the struggle. Paul can't be with the people that he thinks he wants to be with. But then we have the mission. The mission that Paul lays out here is one of presenting the Word of God, the gospel message, encouraging and teaching God's people to become mature in the fullness of Christ. That is, to be able to gather, to study, to learn, and to grow together as a community, knowing their God and knowing who Jesus is and what he's done. This is the letter of encouragement, as Kat showed us last week. We see this in verses 25 and 28. And then this mission is stated again in verses 2 and 4 of the next chapter. Paul wants the believers in Colossae to know the truth of the gospel, the grace of God, which we have received through Jesus. Paul's struggle of physical absence from the people in Colossae doesn't cancel or invalidate his mission. We see here an example of God's apostle finding a way to sharpen his focus on the mission he is given by God, even though his personal circumstances are not what he would objectively have wished them to be. His mission is not stopped by his struggle. And then, at the center of these passages, which form the center of the theme about which Paul is writing, we get the message is in verses 26 and 27, and it's repeated in the next chapter in verses 2b and 3. The focus of the message is Christ, the glorious riches we have in Christ, the hope of glory which we have in Christ, the treasure of wisdom and knowledge which we have in Christ. But in both these instances, Paul tells us that this focus upon Christ is a mystery. It's something that has been hidden. It's not just that we cannot really understand what it means for God to become human and to be on earth, which is a mystery, as is the death of God, who is immortal, and so on. But what I said, there are so many mysteries we could look at, but what we're looking at tonight is focus. So what is this mystery? Well, this mystery can also be looked at as though Paul is acknowledging here that our focus upon Christ is a focus that can be easily lost or hidden or obscured. We can be so easily distracted from Christ. The word mystery is not referring to some kind of puzzle to be solved, but rather it refers to the vast nature of God, which is not completely comprehensible to humans. Now, it's clear from Paul's own life experience that he himself so often did not or could not comprehend who Jesus was. So much of Paul's life before becoming an apostle was devoted to persecuting the church. The Gospels, the stories about Jesus' life, tell us that even the disciples who spent so much time with Jesus himself struggled to fully grasp who Jesus was and why Jesus was here. I mentioned last week in our morning service how remarkable Martha's statement to Jesus at the time Martha's brother Lazarus died and was then raised from death. How remarkable Martha's statement was in showing a depth of understanding that was just absent from many others who knew Jesus at the time before the events of Easter. And I think this is Paul's way of remaining humble. Even as he does everything he can to place Christ at the very center of his focus, placing Jesus at the center of our focus, does not mean that we place Jesus in some kind of box as though we've got God completely figured out. Paul's focus on Christ always leaves room for Jesus to show up in unexpected ways. And most certainly, the Bible tells us that God often shows up in ways that nobody is expecting. So what are we going to do with this then? Well, we see in these verses from Colossians the example of Paul in his experience of finding focus in Jesus. So let me identify a few features we see in Paul's example that could be helpful for each of us as we consider a life of faith that finds a focus in Jesus. First, don't allow struggle to define your focus. If Paul allowed his struggles to become his focus, then he would have been primarily concerned with getting out of prison. The physical absence from Colossae made it much more difficult for Paul to take up the mission he was called to do. But Paul did not allow his imprisonment to become the center of his focus. He stayed on mission despite his personal circumstances. So don't allow struggle to define your focus. Maybe you didn't get that big promotion at work that you wanted this year, or plans that you were counting on didn't come through, or your health or that of someone close to you has failed. There are all sorts of reasons to struggle. Maybe you remember times when Scotland was a different community, or the ministries of this church had different opportunities, such as Bible studies, which, as we know, are coming again. Speak to John about those. We had large, busy children's programs. Further back, we could see groups of teenagers, different groups for young adults, groups for just having a chat. So many different things going on. And maybe you think, if we could just go back to what it was 50 years ago, and we could just have all that back again, then my faith can re-engage with something that used to be. But that's not where we are. And we cannot grow as a community of faith by simply saying, if only we had what we once had, but we let slide, or we had it taken away from us by the effects of COVID and time. Our mission is still to grow in discipleship as a people of faith, and that remains the same. Our mission to reach those in our communities who feel distant from God remains the same. Nothing about any current struggles or circumstances changes that mission. We have new focuses for mission here. We have the help that we provide to the music sanctuary. We have our links with Gorgie. We have the opportunities that the Bridge presents to us. We have the opportunities that the Salt Yard Cafe presents to us. We have our toddlers groups. We have our friendship groups. So much happens here all the time. Don't let struggles become your focus. Instead, let Christ be your focus. Remember and notice and see the good things that are happening here and rejoice in that. Second, leave room for God to surprise you. Maybe sometimes we have difficulty focusing on Christ because our focus is actually more on what we want God to do for us, rather than a focus on who God really is. Leaving room for God to surprise you takes humility. It means that we always have to admit that we haven't completely figured out God. There is still a mystery that is hidden in receiving and responding to the gospel in your life of faith. And that response of faith, well, God most certainly shows up in the most unexpected ways you may never have seen coming. Having Jesus as the focus of your faith does not mean putting Jesus in a box that fits all your expectations. You need to leave room for God to surprise you. It is a good start today for us to recognize that even someone like the Apostle Paul had to work a bit in order to find that focus in his life of faith. It doesn't always just happen automatically. But here's the good news for each of us this evening. God promises that he will always be found. Just because Paul says that the mystery of the gospel has been hidden from our complete understanding does not mean in any way that God himself is hiding from you. God promises us that those who seek God in faith will find him. Jesus tells it this way: knock and the door will be opened. And for those who seek faith, who seek God in faith, what we truly discover is that, in fact, it's God who has been seeking after us. Amen. I'm now going to